with attention to detail. Mm-hmm. One cannot be generous about this and let go. And I think really the success of the Saturn and for the spacecraft, as that matter, is this tremendous attention to all the little details which are involved there, and make sure that we understand them as well as we can and support them by laboratory efforts, by analytical efforts, and by tests of these whole things, so that as we commit these things to flight, we have tried them as closely to flight as we can do, have shaken them down, know all the shortcomings, have shaken out all the human errors which creep into such a thing in building hardware by inspection techniques and what have you. And this makes for rather expensive programs, since apparently takes a lot of people and good people for that matter. That's one reason maybe why the lunar program has cost what it does cost, or did cost. On the other hand, it had a very fine record, and I think we have to knock on wood here. Had a very fine record, and you might say what would have one failure cost us, and therefore I mean you can argue many ways. It could have cost us the whole program for that matter.
Right.
And I think the public and Congress, especially today, is not very forgiving. As long as you're successful, they tolerate you and let you go and go with you and believe you. But if you lose this confidence, and this is pretty fast, if you kill a few guys or don't do a mission, or if this should happen a second time, I believe in today's world you're headed, and they say, why don't you come back 100 years from now? We'll talk with you then. Yes, we, in this sense, we are conservative, and we believe that this has paid off, and there is a certain of that which has to be applied. And I think our own upbringing and our own leadership, DeRees, for instance, who's heading the Center now, is a man who forces us to pay attention to detail his own way. No review of asking questions. I think he tries to penetrate and in a certain way, in a certain area. And I think the deeper you go, somewhere you find something which you are not happy with. So everybody knowing that this might happen to his area is very very apprehensive of that and expects this, and therefore he tries to be ready and. Have done his homework and so on. I might say it's not only people like Dr. Rees, but it's the entire way how maybe a Saturn program is being handled. This series of reviews which is being built up, especially if you come to the point of committing something to flight. There's a design review, and then there are flight readiness reviews and so on. This system on the surface, it might appear to be waste or non-productive. And if you participate in such a review, one will probably conclude, hell, I mean, why all this effort? There is nothing. They don't bring out anything. But I think this is just the secret of it. It's a mechanism by which people and the entire organization which supports and brings this to the culmination of the flight, it's a mechanism by which this whole organization is forced to take one other look, to be self-critical, to close out those things where something seems to be stink, or to make an effort to understand it or improve it and so on. And when the final day of the review comes, and then all they can point to, we have done such and such things, we had a problem here, but we have done this, and therefore it's gone away, and we think we have a clean bill of health. So it's this self-policing, the self-policing effect of these reviews, which in my mind have the great value, and the whole Apollo program, of course, has been run in that way, and still is being run that way. For instance, for the last flight, or any flight for that matter, we again go through these reviews. What is different from the baseline of the last flight? What deltas in engineering or in designs have we done? Changes? Or what is the status of those? Are these good solutions? what kind of problems have we run into, either in groundwork or in the last flight? How have we resolved those and done away with them, and so on? It's at the highest level where Dale Myers personally is sitting in, the Senate directors are sitting in, and all the senior people. So they, as a body, take this last look, and before them, they let parade the program responsible elements like the Saturn people, the Apollo people from Houston, the ground people from the Cape, and so on. The military, which is sort of finally responsible for fishing out the guys. There is one last look: are we ready? And this is a very good process. And there is this attention to detail and this conservatism, which is all the way through. And maybe we at Marshall, I would say, we are one notch more conservative, maybe than the others. Take our own launch vehicle, the Saturn V, which against the original requirements was to handle a spacecraft of, what was it, 78,000 pounds or something like that. People were saying that's what we think we can do can do the mission with. Now in the meantime, their needs have grown. They have not been able to do this. So we were always follow to having been conservative in our first design approaches. After so many flights and more work and more testing, understand it better. We could yield a little there and say we can go closer to the limits. We understand it better, and we could give you a little more payload. We were always able to accommodate them, and facts that in the last go around, I think we could handle a little vehicle and increase the stay time on the moon and so on. These, it's efforts of milking out these conservatisms, design conservatisms, out of the launch vehicle, as well as the spacecraft part, which finally made this possible. And I think today we are talking about, I don't know, 110 or 120,000 pounds of what the Saturn V can handle. Without, by and large, without big new changes, but by just knowing things better, being able to go that much closer with certainty and confidence to the limits.
You mentioned some of these contacts between Marshall and Houston. We've heard it suggested at one point or another that sometimes there were difficulties between the Von Braun team and the old NACA people who brought kind of a different philosophy in. And especially in Houston, they might have been more influenced, say, by the Air Force philosophy. Do you think that was true? Or do you have any comments on that?
But I believe between any proud group of people, there are certain natural conflicts and differences of opinion. You should expect this. I think not everybody looks the same way at these things. But I think the main difference, which I kind of see, is this. If I may start with Marshall. Marshall and the NASA family came up the hardware and development route. I mean, these were people which had done all sorts of jobs themselves and had a certain depth of knowledge and breadth of disciplines available to them, and a certain way of looking at things and a certain way of doing things. Now, I believe the Houston people, they were thrown together anew. They, as a group, had never done a project. Mercury, I believe, was the first one. It was really this, what did they call the thing? It was sprang out of
STG?
Out of Langley.
The Space Task Group?
Yeah, the Space Task Group is, I think, it's the original nucleus of, I think Bob Gurus was at Langley, and he collected around himself this first group of what later became the Houston Center as it widened and so on. Now, this was a group of people. They were partly out of the aero part of aerospace. In other words, these are airplane people. But they never, as a group, they were thrown together anew, really, and they had to find their own ways. And they were technologists and of all sorts of walks of life within this whole thing. So they had to learn their own way, and they did not have the numbers all the depths. They did not grow up as a team as we did, but they had to form this team first. And I think they have done a very fine job over the years, and they are there today. Now their philosophy of doing things is also maybe a little bit different. Look at Marshall, where we have a program office, but then we support this with a sizable in-house kind of effort to keep our people honest and keep them well advised, help them watch the contractors so that we supply some certain guidance and judgment of a technical nature to our program people, and they are challenging this and they are seeking this. Sam Phillips, before he parted NASA, was saying he wished that the Air Force had such a thing to fall back on to help them make some of these decisions.
They did originally, didn't
they?
Yeah,
years ago they had this, but then in their wisdom they did away with it. And he said he wished he had it again, since he said he felt awfully comfortable with all these technical problems which were facing him and the decisions had to be made, to have a group at his fingertips which could supply him with answers, with arguments, and so on. But then the Houston people, on the other hand, I think they do not have this same depth of in-house capability, neither in numbers nor in breadth. So this Max Faché group, which is maybe my counterpart in Houston, is in numbers much smaller. They are maybe 11 or 100 or so, and we have three times as many people here still, and their makeup is entirely different. They are much more interested, you might say, in tomorrow's project than in today's project. So we, with our laboratories, apply ourselves much more to the ongoing kind of things than the Houston people with the Max Fajés. They are trying to prepare for the shuttle and for this and for that. Whereas we are, in a truer sense, a center which addresses itself to the going, mm-hmm. the going kind of thing. So, therefore, you might say the government counterpart group to industry is smaller in numbers and with less depths, therefore, which they can apply to these kind of things. So they have to maybe believe the contractors more, where maybe our people will check this one back, challenge that, or start an argument with the contractor here and there. Now, in final analysis, I think the spacecraft had a very impressive record. If you look back over the Apollo flights, and it's another way of doing it. It's just how comfortable do you want to feel at the point where you have to make the decision? How much independent judgment do you want to have, like by other NASA group? We are not duplicating what the contractor is doing. We couldn't do this. We are not building something as a backup or so, but it's all analytical, or here a test or there a test, or looking at it in a different way, making an analysis in a different way, or making an analysis which these guys haven't done. And out of this is always this give and take. We have learned the hard way to play this role, since industry does not cherish, or certainly did not cherish this, since they thought we were a competing element, and we had to learn our way of working this together. And this has taken a number of years, especially our people coming up the do-it-yourself kind of route. There's always this danger to say, I know better than you do, or I know as much as you do. But that's not how one, I think, among equals or peers, you have to come with an argument and convince each other. That's the only way how you get the other guy to. It's not saying, I'm Mr. Government, I control the taxpayers' money, and you do such and such. You do not get far with this thing. I think you have to convince each other. Only one guy can finally, or one solution can finally be adopted. And these are not black and white kind of things. There's a lot of judgment involved. If you work it right with your counterparts from the government, and between your counterparts and the government and the contractor side, then this makes for good team.
I hate to interrupt here, but
running out of tape.
We have a heavy schedule, and we have another.
I don't know whether I told you something of interest.